Right, let's make a start. We are embarking on just a little sort of series on Sundays looking at prayer. And I have to say, it's going to be really basic, really simple, hopefully really, really straightforward. But we're doing it in here, and the children are doing it in Powerhouse, and the young people are doing it in their groups as well. So we're going across the board, and we're going to think about prayer. And we're going to, over that time, have these 2 weekends of prayer. We set aside 7 over the course of the year. And what we hope is that we can step up a gear with these weekends of prayer. And that's why we've got the sign-up sheet and things like that. So I want you to think about how you can engage in that. It's really important times, we feel, community. But also, I feel there's something about coming to the end of one decade and starting to, you know, move into another. Starting a new decade next year. And so I just want to be sort of preparing us for whatever God has for us as we go forward for this next season. But so part of that is about just spending a bit of time thinking about prayer. I'm not going to apologize if nothing you hear from, or anything you hear from here this morning is, you know, what you've heard before. Because actually, this is such an important issue, such an important topic, and it's good to keep coming back to it and keep coming back to it, because it's the key, isn't it? It's the key to what God wants to do in us and through us and beyond into the life of this community and beyond. So it's important that we look at this issue of prayer. We cannot underestimate the importance of this series, because we cannot underestimate the importance of prayer. I want to say this. There is a battle for your prayer life. I believe that. There is a battle for your prayer life. If the enemy can keep us prayerless, then it will hold us in a place of powerlessness. I do believe that. And actually, when we start to really grow in our understanding, our experience, and our knowledge of what prayer is, we'll realize why the enemy wants to keep us in a place of prayerlessness, because I think it has an impact upon our effectiveness in the community of which we're a part. Prayer changes things. Phoebe had a little tiara on, didn't she? And I wanted to grab it off her and wear it, but I thought, no, I won't, because that'd be... But what's a tiara? It's a sign of royalty, isn't it? It's a sign of royalty. And we have a royal identity. We're sons of the king, daughters of the king, aren't we? So when we go from that place, we go in that authority. It's like we're wearing a tiara. And I just think prayerfulness is part of that. And when we start praying according to our royal identity, that's when we really start to see things shift and change. And I think we're just growing in our understanding. We're growing in our experience of that. And that's why it's important that we spend this time looking at prayer. A couple of quotes just came up in one of the sort of daily reading books I read. From C.H. Spurgeon. Oh Christians, would you be happy? Be much in prayer. Oh Christians, would you be victorious? Be much in prayer. I thought it was an interesting quote. Spurgeon wrestled. I don't know if you know this. Spurgeon, one of the sort of big hitters of the past. But do you know, he suffered, he wrestled with depression his whole life. Yet he says, Christians, if you want to be happy, be much in prayer. If you want to be victorious, be much in prayer. This next quote, prayer is the ship that brings home the richest freight. I haven't got time to talk about that picture that God spoke over our church, 10 or so years ago about setting sail, but I see a connection between those two. Prayer is the ship that brings home the richest freight. Prayer is the soil that yields the richest harvest. I know Jen and Russ were out yesterday. Martin, you were out yesterday. Chris, we were out earlier in the week. We went out. And what we're finding is that those of you who don't know, we go, just talk to people about Jesus on the streets of Truro. Then, I don't know about, you know, neighbours, friends, people that people are connecting with and communicating with. Are you finding that there is an openness there? We are, aren't we? Because I believe that prayer is the soil that yields the richest harvest. I think we've been persistently praying into our community for many, many years. And I do believe we're starting to see the fruit of that. So often, isn't it? I mean, I go out with Chris. We go out thinking we're taking God, and then we end up finding him. We find him right there at work in the hearts of the people we're talking to. Can I just start with a passage that came into my focus recently? I've been thinking about a phrase called the spirit of prayer, and I didn't know whether I could be thinking about the spirit of prayer. Surely we're just talking about the Holy Spirit. And I think we are, but there is something about the purpose and the work of the Holy Spirit to draw us into a prayerfulness. I was at a conference a little while ago, and the guy starts speaking about this particular passage from Zechariah, and it grabbed my attention because I've been thinking about this. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. I will pour out a spirit of grace and supplication. And it says, they will look on me, the one they have pierced. They will mourn for him as one who mourns for an only child. And grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. Something about this longing within us. A spirit of grace and supplication. Let me read to you the little commentary that I read on this. The Holy Spirit is, in the first place, a spirit of prayer. He has promised us a spirit of grace and supplication. The grace for supplication. The word supplication means sort of active. It's like an action of asking for something. But there's an earnestness. And there's a humility in that asking. That's what supplication is. And then it says, it goes on in that commentary. It says, he is sent forth into our hearts as a spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He enables us to say, in true faith and growing apprehension of its meaning, our Father, which art in heaven. We're going to come on to that a little later. He makes intercession for the saints according to God. And as we pray in the Spirit, our worship is as God seeks it to be, in spirit and truth. Prayer is just the breathing of the Spirit in us. Power in prayer comes from the power of the Spirit in us, waited on and trusted in. Our prayer is the index of the measure of the Spirit's work in us. To pray aright, that the life of the Spirit must be aright in us. For praying the effectual, much availing prayer of the righteous person, everything depends of being full of the Holy Spirit. Prayer is just the breathing of the Spirit in us. Prayer, this power in prayer comes from the power of the Spirit in us, waited on and trusted in. You know, at the start of this series, we're just going to have a little, really simple kind of a look at who we pray to today. But before we do, I want us to pause. And I want us to ask God to fill us with that Spirit, His Spirit, Holy Spirit, that will cause us to pray. That spirit of grace and supplication. Because we need it, don't we? We need it if we're going to be the people that we're called and we're created to be. If we're going to fulfill the purpose that he's placed upon our lives. We need it. We need it if we're going to understand who we are and the authority that is ours in him. We need his spirit, don't we? So I just want to pause and I want to pray right now. And I want to invite you, every single one of you, because I can't do this for you. Just pray for that infilling of the Holy Spirit. Spirit of grace and supplication. So we pray, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. This is just the most powerful and important prayer that we can pray in this moment. Come Holy Spirit. Come into our hearts and into our lives. We want to be a people of prayer. Testify to us, Lord. Reveal to us. Illuminate how important this is. But more so, show us what it means to pray. Reveal to us that the power that and authority that is ours in you, but released in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. And just take away anything that gets in the way of that. So, Lord, we're going to ask and we're going to keep asking because this is too important not to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We may come back to that a little bit later because I think it's really important. The question for today is, who is it that we pray to? Could be a really quick sermon, this, couldn't it? Who is it that we pray to? But it is the most important question, isn't it? We've got to know who we pray to understand what this whole thing about prayer is. I want to start to answer this question for us. And if you want to follow, it's going to be in Matthew 6. I think this particular passage will come up on different points during the next few weeks. But Matthew 6 and verse 5. I'm going to just focus on one verse, but I'll read the whole section for you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is then how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive one another, other people, when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So the phrase I just want to dwell on for a few minutes today is, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. This passage comes within the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching on a host of different things, and prayer is one of them. And he starts this little section by challenging some of the ways in which people were praying at that time. You know, for some it had become a religious, rigid activity. It becomes something of a public performance, a religious activity. And Jesus said, that's not how it's supposed to be. It's not how it's supposed to be. I love the fact that in Mark's gospel, when you read his account of this bit, there's an extra dimension that we read there that you don't get so much in Matthew's gospel, because the disciples go to Jesus. They've seen what he's doing, and they don't say to him, oh, tell us how to do these amazing miracles. They kind of got that the prayerfulness was behind this, and they say, Jesus, teach us how to pray. They wanted to know how to pray. They'd seen how important that this was in his life, and they were inspired and they wanted to learn from him. And Jesus just starts this section. He says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father in heaven who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. We're not even going to talk about what that reward is today. Firstly, Jesus says, not if you pray, when you pray. Okay? He doesn't say if you pray, he says when you pray. There is an expectation in our Lord and Saviour that we pray. When you pray. There's an expectation that this is part of our lives. It's not an optional extra. Then he says this, go into your room and close the door. Basically, I think it's as simple as this. I know that it's sort of almost a response and a reflection on the previous words that we read. But he's saying, find a time and space when you can be alone, free from the distractions of your life, and come to me in prayer. Shut the door. I know, looking around the room, that this holds all sorts of challenges. You haven't all got a shed in the garden like me. I'm proud of my shed. I can go in the garden and shut the door. It's just my shed. But not everybody has that. Some people have kids running around and time pressure, all sorts of things. So I can't answer the how question for you. Only you can answer that question. But I want to say this, you've got to answer it. You've got to answer it. It's too important not to. So basically, Jesus is saying here, find a time and space where you can be alone, free from the distractions, and come to God in prayer. You need to make this happen. You need to possibly write it in your diary. You put other things in there, don't you? Other important things in there. And maybe you need to write it in there to make sure that this happens. So then he says this, when you go into that place, you basically say, your Father. Then your Father. It says, but when you pray, close the door and pray to your Father. And then you read on, you go further down into verse 9. It talks about how we start this prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. He says, our Father, who's in heaven. I think I want to say that this is the starting point, the focal point of our prayer. And this is about as much as I want to say today. How do we get to the point where we just shut the door, sit down and say, our Father? What does that look like? I'm going to get really practical in a little bit. How do we do that? This is the starting point, the focal point of our prayer. It's the coming to God, our heavenly, perfect parent, and it's just saying, I'm here. And it's really focusing on that relationship that we have with him. It's not a religious activity. It's simply, we want to come and be with our heavenly Father. And then he says this, our Father, hallowed be your name. You know, in that culture, the name would say something about the person. It's something very important. So basically, I think Jesus is saying, just come and start with the name of God. Come and start with who he is. Hallowed be your name. This is where we start. I'm going to meditate, celebrate, declare, accept, believe in who you are. So I'm not going to start with me. I'm not going to start with my needs or my struggles or my wants, my intercessions even. That's going to come. But I'm going to start with who you are, and everything is going to flow out of that. So I'm going to come. I'm going to go into my room. I'm going to shut the door, and I'm going to say, Father. I'm just going to meditate on who you are just for a few moments. And what we do as we do that, as we start to meditate on who he is, we're basically drinking it in. We're just saying, this is who you are. This is the aids, the intercessions, the challenges of our lives. They'll come because God says we can bring those to him. But it starts with who he is, not who we are. And I think as we start to do this, as we start to lift our eyes to him, the reality of who he is starts to shape those things. Starts to change how we view our circumstances, our situations, our intercessions even, when we start to meditate on who it is that we are praying to, who it is in that moment that we are with. You know, this was radical for that day. Kind of, it was a million miles away from where the religious leaders of that day were in terms of their view of God. For them, it was about regulations. This is all about relationship, isn't it? This is all about relationship. He doesn't say, go into your room, shut the door and say God. He says, Father. He says, come. Start with that relationship. Go from that relationship. I'm reading through Luke's gospel at the moment in my kind of own reading. And on Tuesday, I got to this little section in 17, Luke 17. And it says this, he replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. If you have space, a faith even as small as a mustard seed. And I read a little comment on it that I thought really fit with what I'm talking about this morning. Let me read it to you. It's not great faith you need. It's faith in a great God. Faith is like a window through which you can see something. What matters is not whether the window is 6 inches or 6 feet high. What matters is the God that your faith is looking out on. If it's the Creator God, the God active in Jesus and the Spirit, then the tiniest little peephole of a window will give you access to power like you have never dreamed of. I think what Jesus is saying here is take a moment. Peer through the window, whatever size your window of faith might be, whether it be this or this. It doesn't matter. It's the God we look at. It's about getting rooted in here, our understanding and appreciation and belief of who that God is. So how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, we've said already, find a time and space. And the word, this might be too strong. I've been really debating whether to talk about whether we should covenant to do this. You know, I think one of the walls that we put in place that we talked about last year in the church to stand firm and strong is holy time with God. Is creating a time and space where we can shut the door, switch the phone off, and say, Lord, it's me and you. And I think if we do that, then it will help us stand firm and strong in the face of the opposition that there is and there will be. So I'm going to ask you to take this seriously. You might have this in place. Again, covenant might be too strong, but make a decision. No one will make it for you. You need to make it. And simply say, I'm going to go to that place, shut the door. You may not have a door to close. It might, you know, whatever works for you. And I'm just going to say, Father. So that's the first step. The second step, once we've found that time and space, we've switched off our phones, we focus on the Father. Just begin celebrating an aspect of his character and nature. Again, different things for different people here, but I was thinking about the Hebrew names of God. And I thought this morning, if we could put those up, we might just look at them. Sorry, they're a bit tiny. And let's just think about how we could use these to help us do this. You know, as we go into the room and we shut the door, we make that space, that time for him, and we say, Father, Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. We might just start thinking about different aspects of his character. And I've just written them up there. Adonai, Lord God. Yahweh, God. El Shaddai, God Almighty. El Roi, the God who sees me. Thank you, Lord, that I'm never alone. Thank you, Lord, that you're with me every moment of every day. Thank you, Lord, that you inhabit this space. You've made everything possible for me to come into your presence. Thank you. Yeah, see what I'm saying? We just think about an aspect of his character. Elohim, Father God, Creator God, thank you, Lord, for the beauty of this creation. Thank you, Lord, that I'm part of that. Thank you, Lord, that I can see you at work in this. You know, see what I'm saying? Take an aspect of his character and just simply start to use it to bring about this sort of almost telling him who he knows who he is, but it's just good for us to say it, isn't it? Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Thank you, Lord, that you know every need I have and when that need needs to be fulfilled. I trust in you. I celebrate the way that you have provided in the past, and I celebrate the way that you will provide in the future, because you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Do you see what I'm saying? Just take an aspect of his character and praise him for who he is. Yahweh Rafika, the God who heals. Thank you, Lord, that you're about restoration. You're about healing. Thank you, Lord, that you touch our minds, our hearts, our bodies. Thank you, Lord, that you've done everything in the cross to bring about transformation and change. You're a jealous God, a consuming fire. Thank you, Lord, that you love me so much, you want every part of who I am. Yahweh Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Does it say in the Old Testament, and the banner over me is love. It's lavished on me. It's who you are, it's your nature, it's your character. Thank you for that. Yahweh Shalom, the God of peace. Thank you that you're the God of peace. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus breathed on his disciples. He said, my peace I give. I can know that peace, and I can go in that peace. And Yahweh Tsuri, God is my rock. Thank you that you're my rock. Steadfast, certain, secure. I can plant my feet in you and stand firm. Yahweh Shabbat, the Lord of hosts. We've been singing about this morning. The Lord of hosts is the commander of heaven's armies. The commander of heaven's armies. Thank you, Lord, for angels, the ministering spirits sent to those who will inherit salvation. Thank you that you're interested and involved in every aspect of our culture and our lives. Thank you that you bring about victory. And then El Olam, the eternal God. Thank you that you were the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, just take one of these names as you start to pray. Think about it, meditate. And it just shapes and changes us, doesn't it? Obviously, we've got Yeshua, Jesus. You know, we want to know what God is like. And we look to him, don't we? And maybe there's aspects of his teaching or his ministry or his character that we can again just sit with that and say, what does this tell us about who God is? And let's just celebrate and remember who he is. Let's just meditate upon it. This is the God that we pray to. This is the starting point. This is the God whom we kind of like, whether it's a peephole or a wider opening, we look on. And I think today as we prayed and as we continue to pray, this is the God that I pray that there would be revelation, greater revelation within us about who he is, his nature and his character and his love for us. And that's the starting point. That's the starting point of our worship. It's the starting point of our prayer. And it's the starting point of this series. And that's it. Not rocket science, is it? It's quite simple. Go into your room, shut the door, and say, Father. Can you do that? Let's just wait for a moment. I'll just encourage you to think about how you're going to do that. If this is not part of your daily, your sort of pattern of life, then I just would encourage you to think about, I don't want you to feel bad here. This is really important. This is about fulfilling your potential. It's about becoming the person that God has made you in Christ. We cannot do it independently of him.